Electric vehicles are revolutionizing the auto industry, but what happens to their batteries once they reach the end of the road? Cox Automotive is tackling that challenge head-on with its EV battery solutions, managing, repairing, and recycling batteries at every stage of their life cycle to keep valuable materials in use and waste out of landfills. It's the subject of today's Mobility Makers, brought to you by Bridgestone. Getting people down the road matters, but getting generations down them, that's what really matters. Bridgestone. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more. Joining us to talk about how this technology is reshaping the EV supply chain is Bryce Cornett, Senior Manager of Supply Chain Logistics at Cox Automotive. Bryce, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate you guys having me.
You know, electric vehicles are really changing the way we think about transportation, but managing those batteries, though, that's a huge piece of the puzzle. And for those who are not really familiar, what exactly is Cox Automotive EV Battery Solutions, and how does it support batteries through their entire life cycle?
Yeah, EV Battery Solutions, we extend the life and protect the value of EV batteries. We work with approximately 85% of the U.S. auto market. We take the hard work off of OEM and dealerships by, protecting brand reputation, reducing customer inconvenience, maximizing uptime. And we do this through a multitude of services that really start with, EV battery diagnostics. And then it gets into ways that we can fix a battery and get it back into a vehicle is refurbishment, repair, or remanufacturing. And those activities are enabled also through recycling and logistics. So we've got a lot going on at EV Battery Solutions, and we one of the biggest things is also safety. So leading with safety in everything we do to support those services.
You talk about trying to figure all of this out. Is a portion of this training people and the workforce to do this very thing when you get to your best practice?
Absolutely. Yeah. And talked about a lot in the industry is, this as OEMs, either consider or make that full shift to electrification. You're looking for not only in our business, we have over 10 years of experience doing what we do. And so we do have a lot of very knowledgeable people and technicians, but out in the world, we also support, the training and supporting OEM and other automakers with training their personnel or giving them best practices. The other is dealerships, finding, technicians that are trained specific, and now you're getting into specific EV battery training, as there are some big differences in how you work on an EV versus a traditional ICE or combustion vehicle.
Bryce, I know you said safety is a big part of what you guys do. I know you guys oversee the supply chain logistics, which sounds like a pretty big task in itself. but talk about some of the biggest challenges when you have to, track and move and manage these EV batteries safely and efficiently across the country.
Sure. Yeah. So that's my my day job. That's specifically my role, is overseeing how we do this safely. So it starts by understanding the rules and regulations, federal rules and regulations for transporting EV batteries. And we have a lot of knowledge and experience and also great people that allow us to do that. And additionally, these battery packs are not right now not getting any smaller. I think we're dealing with battery packs as large as 800 volt battery systems. And so these battery packs can weigh up to 4,000 pounds at times within a large crate. And so you have something that's traveling by the road and also showing up at a dealership that is often quite large, maybe the largest repair item that a dealer's having to touch outside of an engine, maybe a transmission. And so doing so, a lot of the logistics that we handle is also considering who is receiving it, right? So we're transporting batteries in very eclectic and unique ways to be able to support the end user and support our OEMs. And then again, as I mentioned, is just making sure that the specific regulations regarding EV batteries is ever changing. It's not solidified. The industry is ultimately not that old. And so there's a lot of safety and regulations that constantly change, and we're happy to also support that as well.
Well, Cox Automotive providing support for EV batteries throughout every step of the life cycle. Bryce Cornett is Cox Automotive Senior Manager of Supply Chain Logistics. We appreciate you coming on this morning, Bryce. Thank you. Have a good rest of the week.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah, you guys too. Thank you.
Very interesting.
Yes.
You need people like that researching these batteries, how to recycle them, how to fix them. And so good thing Cox is out there doing that kind of work.
Yes.
People are doing the work of trying to find these jewels from the Louvre. Avenues remain open. That's the headline. Basically, they don't know where they are.
No, that's basically it, bottom line.
And
all these jewels are beautiful.
Yeah. 8 pieces of jewelry that form part of France's crown jewels stolen from the Louvre by thieves who left behind evidence, including dropping a crown. They're looking at that ladder thing that went up to the...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're looking at all kinds of avenues. So far, they don't know. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal. We talked about this yesterday. What are these thieves going to do with it?
Right.
If you're trying to hawk the crown, this, you know, Napoleon's wife's crown, you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
But that's not what they do. If it's a crown like that,
they melt it.
They break them out of their jewelry settings, and their gold settings can be melted down because such commodities retain value as precious metals and gems. So they won't fetch as much as if it's like Napoleon's gold.
Yeah.
But they're still going to get money for it. So it's different than stealing like a painting because they can break it all down. And that's what they fear in France, that these precious jewels and gems are going to be broken apart and
already
in the black market.
Exactly. That's really bad.
And one other thing here I wanted to touch on is this peanut allergy when it comes to kids. Did you see this report yesterday?
No, but I have a relative with a peanut allergy.
Okay.
So I need to hear this.
A while ago, doctors had recommended delaying feeding children peanuts and other foods likely to trigger allergies before age 3.
Okay.
But in 2015, out of King's College in London, they started studying giving kids these things a little earlier.
Okay.
And what scientists are finding, that peanut allergies began to decline in the U.S. after guidance first issued in 2015, as I said, upended this practice. And the rate of peanut allergies in children ages 0 to 3 fell by more than 27% than before we had these guidelines of not even trying it.
So by exposing them earlier helps?
Helps.
Yes.
And so it's showing that it's helping.
It's helping, yeah.
And this was a study published yesterday in the Medical Journal of Pediatrics. And about 60,000 children have avoided food allergies since 2015. Including 40,000 children who otherwise would have developed the peanut allergy.
Oh, wow.
Still, about 8% of children are affected by food allergies, including more than 2% with that peanut allergy. But because they're trying to introduce this earlier, it's showing real results. And I remember when I had my baby, years ago, they're like, yeah, give her some peanut butter.
Yeah.
And we did. She's not having a problem now, knock on wood. But maybe this is what we should be doing. And that's early studies are showing yes.
That's a good deal. Coming up, let's talk about these gas prices. They are dropping. Now, I'm not complaining, but I'd just like to know why they're dropping.
No, I'd say you're celebrating.
Yes. So I'd just like to know why they're dropping. So let's talk to Paul Sankey, the lead analyst from Sankey Research. He's coming up at 6:49 on JR Morning.